At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 163 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Knowing Wheel returns today, ready to discuss the Bahrain Grand Prix. Of course, the opening round of 2024, and safe to say it looks like it's going to be a return of 2023. On the track, not so ideal. Off the track though, it does mean I get to return with my favourite co-host, Jamie183. How are we doing, my guy?
I'm good. It's very kind of you to say I'm your favourite co-host out of all the options available. Yeah, F1 is back. I'm quite pleased about it. I'm quite positive for the season despite the kind of narratives going around. And yeah, I think straight away, Saturday racing, I didn't mind it.
No, I wouldn't have it every weekend, but... No. As something a little bit different, it was quite nice to suddenly then wait. Well, I was actually going to bed Saturday night, and I was like, it's Monday tomorrow. Not that it really makes a huge difference for me. Yeah. and then suddenly I was like, oh no, it's Sunday.
Yeah, you got a whole extra day of the weekend to recover from Max Verstappen domination.
Yeah, from the Dutch national spoilers. Anthem. Which, to be fair, I had turned my TV off before the Dutch national anthem came up.
Yeah.
But yeah, there you go. That is a spoiler and a half before we get into this. If for whatever reason you only use us as our sole way of keeping up with Formula One, then fair play. But yeah, I mean, going into the weekend, of course, I feel like, Jamie, that there should be a rule in Formula One now that winter testing can't be at the same track that round one is. Because it feels like everyone goes in pretty much exactly with their cars set up ready to go.
I think I might agree with you because I think Bahrain is probably the most predictable race of the year because we've done so much testing there. Probably that or Spain, obviously, because all the teams know Spain like the back of their hand. Yeah, because all of the experts, like if you watch the Notebooks by Ted Kravitz or like Will Buxton's F1 show, we all basically know what the running order is going to be, despite testing times being... like you shouldn't read into the times, but you can read into the pace, the long run pace especially. So we all kind of knew that the Red Bull was fastest, the Ferrari was next, the McLaren and Mercedes were quite close, the Aston Martin was fifth, and then everyone else is awful. Like everyone knew that before the race on Saturday. So yeah, it kind of just played out exactly as predicted, but it was a bit of a shame. Maybe we should just go back to Jerez or something so it's irrelevant.
Exactly. I was either going to say go back to somewhere like Jerez or a track that isn't on the F1 calendar anymore, or I reckon what they should do is if we're adamant we're just having these 3 days of winter testing, day one is on the Grand Prix circuit, day two is on the Bahrain outer loop, and day three is on the endurance layout. That way,
that'd
at least
well.
It would give the teams a chance as well, obviously, because effectively you'd have the normal track, the low downforce track, and the high downforce track.
That'd be
so
quite good, actually.
To allow them to test out different things. And, of course, we just added a little extra element to it all.
Yeah, yeah, that would be quite good because, you know, we might get to Jeddah this week and the running order is totally different because Jeddah's a way higher speed track with no kind of infield section as such. So, yeah, hopefully the running order is less predictable when we get there. As it kind of was last year, obviously McLaren were rubbish and I think Ferrari were better than they were the rest of the season at Bahrain. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I mean, obviously we'll do a preview show for Jeddah, won't we, later on in the week. So if you aren't already subbed, please do make sure you do so. We're almost at 500 now here on YouTube. So yeah, we're trying to overtake Jamie's personal channel. and of course, if we hit 10,000 subs, we are going to try and get to every European F1 factory inside 24 hours. Let's move in then into qualifying, Jamie. Because it appeared that we were kind of a little bit nervous about Alpine and going into the weekend, and that was pretty much backed up, wasn't it? Last on the grid, the first time since Baku 2016. Can you remember their lineup for that Grand Prix?
That was Magnussen Palmer, was it not?
It was Magnussen and the GOAT, Julian Palmer.
You have to be alert on a street circuit that weekend.
They were slower than Mana around that track.
Mana were just a rocket ship back then, though. It was a 1.5 kilometer straight, and Mana are decent.
Exactly. And they scored points in Austria, which was brilliant to see as well. I always remember, this is a complete side tangent as well, but do you remember for 2017 when Mana wanted to stay on the grid, they tried to lobby that the FIA should allow them to run their 2016 car with 2017 tyres? Like, how slow would that thing
have
been?
That would have been awful. Like, the car pace difference between the 16 Mercedes and 17 Mercedes was about 5 seconds. So the 16 Mana to the 2017 Mercedes would have been genuinely about 8 or 9 seconds off the pace.
Yeah, I mean, they would have gained a second or two from the tyres, but there's probably some tracks where it would have made no difference.
Yeah, and they would have just never warmed up because they had no downforce on it.
Well, yeah, that's a good point as well.
Yeah, right, let's get back on topic.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, complete side tangent there. But, you know, you can tell Formula One is back when we're starting doing that again. But yeah, Alpine in Q1, back row of the grid. I mean, already since then, they've lost their head of aerodynamics and their head of... What was the other one, Jamie?
Oh,
we should have wrote this down on the notes.
Yeah, we should have done. They've lost three major personnel.
It's just a disaster over there. And pretty soon, Gasly and Ocon are going to have to be putting tyres on their own cars. To be honest, though... Most of qualifying, apart from Alpine, was kind of exactly where you'd expect, wasn't it, from last year?
Pretty much. I think the one driver showing us all that he still got it is Nico Hülkenberg, which pleased me an awful lot.
He did that a few times last year. It's just the Haas
But the narrative of the Haas was that it was going to be awful. All winter they've been playing down how good they are. And then I was surprised to see both of them get to Q2 originally. And obviously Hülkenberg goes and gets to Q3 in P6 in Q2, which is like... craziness, and it's a shame that he only had one set of tyres for Q3 and decided to save them, so he just accepted P10 in the end. But to see the car that everyone's been saying was going to be the slowest to pop up in P10 on the grid, and Magnussen was, what, 15th? So it's not awful, but I would everyone would have been expecting probably in the bottom four grid spots them to be there. So
I was going to say, let's also just remember as well that Bahrain, for whatever reason, is one of Haas's strongest tracks every year. Like, they'll be running 16th, 17th pretty soon.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't expect both of them to get through to Q2 in Jeddah, for instance.
Okay, interesting. But yeah, I mean, out in Q1, obviously, like we said, with both Alpines, both Alfa Romeos, I think they were a little bit disappointed with that. I think
within a thousandth of each other.
Within a thousandth of each other, but I think the fact that obviously Haas had been downplayed so much, because of course, effectively, Haas and Alfa Romeo are a direct sort of comparison to each other, aren't they? Because obviously they both run Ferrari power units. And of course, the other one out in Q1 was Logan Sargeant, which is not particularly surprising. Lewis Hamilton, though, was prepared to risk it in both Q1 and Q2, wasn't he? Because he was on really last-ditch runs on both sessions to make it through.
Yeah, Hamilton was a bit off it all weekend, it felt like, really. But
Friday he was fine.
Yeah, Friday. Well, do you mean Thursday? Practice he was fine.
Yeah.
Friday qualifying, he just never really looked at one with the car. And then Saturday as well.
He's so confident.
Yeah, the race, he was all right. He wasn't awful.
He got stronger towards the end, I think, in the race.
Yeah, but he wasn't the Hamilton of old that we know.
No. Well, yeah, I think first race of the season... He was just kind of settling in, wasn't he? But yeah, I mean, obviously, like we said, at Q1, Alpine, Alpha, Sargeant. At Q2, Magnussen, Albon, both RBs. And, of course, Lance Stroll can't make it into Q3.
Yeah. The one driver from the top five teams.
Exactly. It should be a pretty clear-cut top five teams making it into Q3, shouldn't it? And, of course, Stroll goes and bucks that trend negatively, as always.
Indeed. But I predicted him to go out in Q2, so I'll take that.
It's not a bold prediction, particularly. I would hardly say that's revolutionary in the world of F1.
Not particularly.
Q3, though, rather interestingly, of course, it was Max Verstappen that ended up taking pole, but he went slower than Leclerc did in Q2.
Yeah, and I think Leclerc was obviously disappointed because he had the lap time in the car, and Max was disappointed too. He told GP, "I don't think that's enough," and then it was. So. It gave me a bit of confidence for the season because Max didn't take pole easily. I think it was 0.3 in the end, 2.5 tenths. But
no, it was a half a tenth.
Oh, it was even less, wasn't it? And Leclerc did set the fastest time off qualifying. He just set it in the wrong session. So that bodes well, I think. If we can see the Ferraris and maybe a Mercedes in the mix in qualifying, then the Red Bull might not have it all its own way.
Well, I think they still had that towards the end of last year as well, though, didn't they? You know, yeah. Leclerc, I think, in the final six Grand Prix, was the best qualifier out of everyone.
He was on the front row every race in the last six. Three poles, I think.
Which is pretty mental, isn't it, to think about? But again, that really does feed into Leclerc is just a beast over one lap.
Yeah.
But yeah, as we said, it was Verstappen, Leclerc front row, so I was so close to getting my Leclerc predictions right. Which would have given me an all very, very crucial 2-point swing, which we'll talk about later on. George Russell did very, very well up in P3, beat out the second Ferrari and Red Bull there. So three cars, three teams inside the top three. That was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Russell felt like he was on it all weekend. And he was unlucky to miss out on the podium, I think. But eventually the car pace did screw him over a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, Perez P5. I mean, he recovered it quite nicely in the race, didn't he? But after that, I was like, oh, maybe my prediction of out by Monaco was coming out.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, it's about what you expect, isn't it? It's just the Red Bull isn't miles ahead in qualifying. Perez is 0.3 off Max, and suddenly he's fifth. That's kind of how it goes, really, isn't it, for Perez? But as long as he gets up there in the race when the race pace is a little bit further ahead, then it's probably okay. But
yeah,
we'll see.
We'll keep an eye, won't we? I'm sure on Sergio Perez early on. Fernando Alonso bagged P6. That was a pretty good effort by him.
Better than he expected.
Both McLarens and Lewis Hamilton there. And as we said, obviously Hülkenberg was just nowhere at the end of Q3. But the fact he made it to Q3 was certainly impressive. And it was almost looking like my bold prediction could have been coming in. Until we got into the race, wasn't it? Because lap one, turn one... What did your driver do, Jamie?
He messed it up. I can't skirt around it. He did. I was going to try and blame Bottas for rear-ending him, but I had a quick look this morning and Hulk definitely crashed into Stroll before Bottas hit him.
Yeah.
It was a shame. He got a bad start. Was down to P12 effectively straight away because Stroll started directly behind him and Stroll was all fully ahead of him into turn one. And then Hulk just broke a bit too late. Lost a bit of downforce running behind the other car and rear-ended Stroll, spun him, and then Bottas also clipped the back of him to give himself, well, both of them had wing damage. Bottas didn't pit, he just had it hanging off all race. And Stroll was down to last, and Hulk had to pit at the end of lap one, which was a bit sad. Well, it was very sad because you expect the Haas's race pace to be worse than quali pace. So without a safety car, there was no way he was going to come back anywhere near the points. But to be fair to him, I still think he did quite well after lap one.
I mean, saying he did quite well, I think, is a stretch, Jamie. When you
but
look
the car
at the
pace
cars
was
he
there.
Beat, yeah, but when you look at the cars he beat, and again, this is going to be a bit of a spoiler, he basically beat the Alpines, Sargeant, whose car literally tried to kill him halfway through the Grand Prix, and Valtteri Bottas.
Whose pit crew tried to kill him halfway through the Grand
Prix. Exactly.
But he wasn't far off Albon, which to say he lost 30 seconds on lap one is not too bad.
Fair enough. I mean, yeah, the front though, wasn't it? It was on paper, pretty much. This read out like a script from 2023, didn't it? Max Verstappen basically just walked away, didn't he, at the front of the field, and we basically never saw him again.
Yeah, the TVs were not kind to Max Verstappen this weekend, because, yeah, you really didn't see him, but I guess he won't care in the slightest, because he just cantered away, had about 3 or 4 second lead by about lap 3 or 4, and then that was it. Even the early DRS on lap 2 didn't make any difference because he was already ahead by a long way. So yeah, we had to look behind him for the action, which is what I've been saying since about December, that you'd kind of have P1 nailed and then P2 to P12 would be good to watch, and it was, to be fair.
Yeah, we're still behind again. It's kind of what we spoke about last year, wasn't it, of, you know, you've got to be watching the right things if Formula One is going to be entertaining this year. And it's a shame, of course, that the right things isn't the battle for the win. But I think, yeah, we're going to be in for another year of that. However, I do certainly feel, based on a couple of the other teams, that Max won't have it as easy as he did in 2023. Will it still probably be an easy title? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Will it be Red Bull win all but one race? Honestly, I don't think so this year.
I don't think so either.
Which will be good to see.
But then we said that up until about June last year, didn't we? Until we stopped believing it.
No. Red Bull were more comfortable at the start of last year than this year. Early on, though, I mean, yeah, Fernando Alonso, though, like we said, that Aston Martin, he did better in qualifying than we were expected, but he basically dropped back behind the McLarens and Hamilton, didn't he, very early on. And I got stick for this last week, but if... because basically I said I reckon this might be Alonso's last season in the sport. If Mercedes decide they aren't interested because a certain other driver might become available that we'll talk about a bit later on, does he just spend years at Aston Martin battling literally Lance Stroll for P9? Surely not.
I think at high downforce circuits, he'll still be able to fight with the big boys, especially in qualifying. So
well,
he's probably eyeing up Monaco.
Aston Martin have literally said they've completely changed the car philosophy this year, so it's not as good on the high downforce
Maybe.
Tracks, but it's better everywhere else.
Maybe.
Because no Formula One track is high downforce anymore.
It's true. It's true. So everyone's so obsessed by massive overtaking opportunities that you get to Monaco and it's just a completely different pecking order. Alpine will probably be like third fastest car again.
Alpine are going to win.
But yeah, we'll have to wait and see. I think Alonso is used to chilling in the midfield because that's what he's been doing since 2014, really, bar last year. So yeah, if he wants to keep on driving.
15, he was not chilling in the midfield. Or
true.
2017.
He was chilling at the back, but still. If he loves driving enough, as he says he does, there's no reason to leave. Well, he's still got it. Because, yeah, we'll see. And hopefully he'll end up at Merck, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, let's just mention that very briefly then. Of course, the rumour now is that Verstappen could be heading Mercedes bound. Yeah. Which do you think could end up being there, if either?
I feel like all the chat at Red Bull is just like pillow fighting between kids. They're just throwing rumours around to get their own way. There's three very unpleasant people at the top of Red Bull, and they're all trying to get each other, stab each other in the back, really. So we'll see. I feel like Max is kind of caught in the crossfire, and people are throwing his name around to Mercedes just to try and stir the pot a bit.
Exactly. I mean, I put out on Twitter yesterday, which I've been told is a fairly accurate description. It feels like, what's it, Jos, Helmut and Christian are all having a PP measuring contest. And unfortunately, Max Verstappen has been roped in with the tape measure.
Yeah.
Which is really... I never thought I'd say this, but I genuinely do feel a tiny bit sorry for him right now. Which is highly, highly unlikely.
He's definitely in bed with the wrong people right now, isn't he? So... Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see
how it plays out.
Let's go back to the race then, Jamie. It was Russell and Leclerc, though, that were delivering us a lot of the drama early on, because Leclerc basically couldn't stop the car.
Yeah, he just didn't bother with turn nine, any part of the race. So I think he must have had some sort of issue. They never really said if it was a brake.
Brake problems. Yeah. I think it was the right-hand side brake was normally sitting 100 degrees warmer than the left for whatever reason.
So just unbalanced braking, which made the car feel like it was pulling to the right as he was trying to stop it. So, yeah, it didn't help him at all. And he kind of dropped back from P3. Russell did him around the outside of turn four, which was a class move, to be fair. And then over the next few laps in the first stint, both Perez and Sainz relegated him down to fifth. Perez onto third place, Sainz into fourth. And Sainz, quality, to be fair. Really good race.
It was great, obviously, isn't it? Because I guess that's one of the good things of knowing you're not keeping your seat at the end of the year, is when the team tell you not to battle your teammate, you think, yeah, what are you going to do, sack me?
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
You already have. So I'm going to send Leclerc for a mile back into turn one. That was an unbelievable overtake. Just after the second stint, Leclerc had undercut, and then Sainz, yeah, from miles back, and Leclerc had DRS too, so it wasn't like an easy overtake. Sainz just sent it from like maybe a few car lengths behind and did him into turn one. Obviously, Leclerc having those issues probably helped, but yeah, great move.
It was glorious, wasn't it? I mean, it was good to see cars battling again, isn't it, as well? Even if it is obviously a teammate battle, not for the win. But yeah, Sainz, though, obviously, like we said, worked his way up into P3. Russell and Leclerc, obviously, like we said, Leclerc with his brake issues. George Russell, I think, was having engine overheating issues, wasn't it? It was the same for Williams as well. So Mercedes, they weren't really expecting that, but apparently they kind of know what they need to do so it won't happen again. If the answer is turn the engines down, please, for the love of God, help me. But there we are.
Put loads of vents in it, that will help.
Exactly. Did you see Alpine's vents as well?
Alpine just put a cheese grater on the side.
It's just the entire car was vents. Yeah. What are they going to do when they get to Mexico? Apart from maybe already have fallen out of the sport.
Yeah, they'll be Ocon and Gasly just walking the circuit at that point.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, after that, though, it was kind of felt like, didn't it, that pretty much everything kind of stabilised, didn't it? And then Bottas had a pit stop that took him over a minute.
Yeah, which is not even anywhere near his longest pit stop in Formula 1. But I feel a bit bad for Valtteri Bottas. But, yeah, it was a shame. Because, well, it wasn't a shame. He was running about 16th, so didn't really matter. But it was just funny to see. I don't even know what happened, because they had three of the four tyres on. The fourth tyre went on, and then he pulled the fourth tyre off and went and swapped it. So maybe that fourth tyre, the front left, was the wrong one, like the wrong set. But it ruined any fun he was having battling the Hasses and the RBs and whatever. But yeah, he was never getting points. Unlike his teammate, who I'm very upset because he so nearly got a cheeky little P10, like I predicted. Wow.
Say, it was your prediction against mine, wasn't it? Because you said Joe was going to be your surprise top 10 of the weekend. I'd said Joe was going to get like 6 P11s over the course of this year. So you can tick one immediately off that list, thank you.
Yeah, I genuinely think the Sauber was... It wasn't the 6th fastest car, I think the RB was. It was probably about the 7th fastest car for me. And to be running in the points for a lot of the race and then only overtaken by Stroll with like 10 laps to go... It was a really, really good effort for Joe. And it's one of the best races of his, probably since like Spain last year, which is obviously quite early season. I think it's exactly the confidence boost he needs, because he was on it. And hopefully
I would say Qatar last year.
Hey, Qatar is pretty good.
Both drivers did well there. I completely agree with you. I mean, we spoke about this pre-show. Joe did genuinely have a very, very good race that unfortunately ended up going under the radar because he didn't score a point.
Yeah,
but of course, it's meant that Alfa Romeo was sixth in the constructors, hasn't it?
Yeah,
by virtue of that best result. But it feels like this year, doesn't it, that it's going to be so difficult for any of those teams to score points when it feels pretty clear cut that Red Bull are top, Ferrari, Mercedes, McLaren are all kind of beefing each other, and then Aston Martin are kind of picking up the spoils, doesn't it?
Yeah, but then I would still back that almost all of them will probably score points just because of the nature of. Like, it takes a crash at the start between three drivers in the top 10, and suddenly you've got 8th, 9th, and 10th up for grabs. Which, if that was the case, then three teams, like Sauber, RB, and Haas, would have scored points.
Yeah, it's a good point, isn't it? Speaking of RB, though, they were a real disappointment in the end, weren't they?
Topped FP1 with Ricciardo, but that was a run plan thing, I think. He basically did a quality run in FP1. And, yeah, they were everyone's kind of dark horse for the race, and it didn't really amount to anything. Obviously, both out in Q2, as we said, Tsunoda was only a couple of thousandths off P10 in the end in qualifying, but yeah, they just didn't really kick on. I think they kind of got stuck behind Kevin Magnussen for the second half of the race and just somehow couldn't pass him, and Tsunoda was there for a long time. Ricciardo had done an offset strategy, so had a fresh set of softs at the end, battling for P12 effectively, with Magnussen 12th, Tsunoda and Ricciardo just behind, and then they just started beefing each other. It was quite entertaining. It gave us a bit of spice right at the end of the race as a non RB fan. But yeah, I think, well, they gave Tsunoda some team orders which he ignored for a lap and a half, eventually did let Ricciardo through, but then because they were lapped, Ricciardo effectively had another lap and a half starting from like turn 8 the rest of that lap, and then one lap in full to try and pass Magnussen, sorry. And obviously he couldn't. And then they were both just really annoyed. And the cooldown lap, I don't know if you saw that, Tsunoda almost took him out.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. I didn't know what was going on.
I mean, it made me laugh because the amount of people that were hating on Yuki for that, when you know full well most of those people, if it had been the other way around, would have thrown Daniel Ricciardo a parade because he's Daniel Ricciardo. I completely get why Yuki was upset with that. Was it the right thing to do after the race? Probably not. But I completely get why he was so upset with that. Because, let's be fair, at the end of the day, both those drivers know right now that there is a very real opportunity, if more likely when, Perez messes it up this year. It feels at the moment for Yuki like Daniel Ricciardo is set for that seat. He outqualified him. He should have out-finished him in the race. If you're Yuki Tsunoda right now, you want to be trying to beat Daniel Ricciardo week in, week out. Basically going to Red Bull, have me, boys. Go on, give me a shot. And if the team aren't even allowing you to do that, whether there's the narrative being pushed by Red Bull as well, why wouldn't you be frustrated?
Yeah, and I think the flip side of that is Ricciardo was on the better strategy, or was on the softer tyre at that part of the race. So
overtake him then.
Yeah, exactly. But it's really hard to overtake when a car's got DRS as well. So I can see both sides of the coin. I think Tsunoda will be very annoyed, but I can also see that the team order made sense to give Ricciardo a shot at passing Magnussen. I think would have made it fairer for the team in terms of decision making was if Ricciardo couldn't pass Magnussen to swap him back, just pull the line.
That's what I was going to say.
Didn't happen. But I think, I don't know if they realised they were on the last lap because they were like the next pack of cars to cross the line after Verstappen. So they only just got lapped. And yeah.
You would expect them to know, sure.
Yeah. But heat in the moment stuff, Ricciardo maybe just didn't want to give it back. Maybe he wasn't told to, who knows. But yeah.
My guess was that he wasn't told to give it back, to be completely honest. Because I feel like that would have been mentioned at this point. But it did mean, though, Max Verstappen, 8th win in a row now, officially. He's 7th win in a row, isn't it? He's only got to win the next 3 Grand Prix, and they've already matched his record from last year.
7 wins in a row would have put him 2nd longest streak ever. Before last season.
Before last season, yeah. And he managed, what, 6 or 7? Well, it was 6, wasn't it, last year as well, at the end of the year.
Now he's up to 7.
Perez, though, P2. Very, very understated P2, but he did keep Sainz at arm's length towards the end. However, Leclerc and Lando Norris both believe they could have beaten Perez had they not had their issues, but they were ended up 4th and 5th, so it was both Red Bulls, both Ferraris. Then we did get a little bit of a mix-up, didn't we, because Russell, Norris, Hamilton all were converging on each other at the end of the Grand Prix. There just wasn't quite enough laps. With Piastri, Alonso and Stroll rounding out our top 10 then. So 5 teams make up the top 10, which is a little bit of a shame. But again, I think we're going to say that quite a lot this year. With Zhou narrowly missing out, beating out Magnussen, Ricciardo, Tsunoda, as we mentioned there. Albon, pretty quiet, disappointing P14, P15, sorry. Obviously, then again, ahead of Hulk, both Alpines, Bottas and Sargeant there. Sargeant 2 laps down. We forgot to mention it, but the car tried to kill him, didn't it? Because Williams...
I don't know what happened, famously, really.
So Williams famously now obviously aren't using their butterfly steering wheel anymore. They've got a real steering wheel with a dash on it. And basically, clearly it wasn't coded right, because I don't know if you saw this when Sargeant went off, but the brake bias went from 56 to 95 in the braking zone. You just watched it going up by 2.5% just over and over and over. It just got jammed going up, which we thought could have been a safety car.
He spent about a minute trying to sort himself out, but eventually did get going. But obviously, race ruined. But he was never amounting to much anyway, to be honest.
First time ever in a season opener in an F1 season, every car has finished.
Yeah.
Which, when you think a few years ago, it was pretty much unheard of that every car would finish a Grand Prix. It seems to be getting increasingly common at the moment, isn't it?
I think it's as we get to the end of a rule cycle and teams are more serious now. The engines are getting more technically advanced.
Well, we're on the 10-year anniversary now of the turbo hybrids, aren't we?
Yeah, they haven't really changed since 2014 all that much, have they? So, yeah. It is... Right. I don't know if retirements make a good thing, though, really, because if you think back to, like,
Mugello...
It adds
some potential with a spice, doesn't it?
If you think, like, yeah. I'll have 2 or 3. I don't want 10 retirements, because then there's no cars to watch.
No. So, Jamie, it's quiz time. We briefly touched upon it just then.
Okay.
But it is time for your quiz. Let me just count how many answers there are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 answers to this quiz. So I'm going to give you a minute and a half.
Okay.
It's real simple today, Jamie. So, as you know, Max Verstappen currently is on a 7-race win streak.
Can
you name me every driver that has won 4 or more Grand Prix in a row? Your time starts now.
Okay, Verstappen, correct. Alberto Ascari, Sebastian Vettel, Nico Rosberg,
tick these off. Yep.
Lewis Hamilton, Michael Schumacher.
You're answering them in a very different order to how I read
them. Fernando Alonso.
Yeah.
4 races in a row. Who else has been good? Niki Lauda, James Hunt.
Nope.
No, you wouldn't have done. Fangio. I don't know if you've ever got 4.
Nope.
Really? 4 in a row. Button.
List.
Button will have got 4.
Yep.
Raikkonen? I don't think so.
Nope.
4 is quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, there's quite a lot that have won 3 in a row.
Like
that's why
Andretti?
I did 4.
No, I don't know.
No.
People who've won races. Stewart?
Nope.
Who's the Australian one? Alan Jones? No.
Who's the Australian one?
Mark Webber? No.
No.
Massa? No. I'm too modern.
I love the
here,
way you're
I?
Answering this for yourself. You're doing worse than I expected so far.
I'm doing really
just
badly. Winners.
Seconds.
Winners. Okay. 80s. Oh, Prost, Senna.
Yeah,
oh,
that was
dear.
Two really obvious ones.
Lots of wins in F1. Oh, dear.
15 seconds? Nope.
I'm appalling at this.
Bear in mind, you've got to remember.
Damon nope. Hill, Nigel Mansell.
Yes. Yes. Good recovery there.
Yeah, we're back.
And time is up.
Oh, dear. I feel like that was really bad.
The trap you got caught into there, of course, was back in the 50s and 60s.
No one got any.
No one got many wins in a row because Indy ruined it most years.
Oh, and just retirements were so common back
and
then.
And retirements as well. So you got 12 out of 15 in the end.
Okay.
You forgot 3 J's, interestingly.
Oh, no. What,
one
first
of them
names?
You're going to really hit yourself about.
Jochen Rindt? No.
He is on there.
Oh, there you go. I wasn't going
to
get
he
that
was,
one.
He was the one that it didn't expect you to get at all.
Okay.
Yeah, he won 4 races in a row, of course, before he got killed. The only posthumous F1 world champion. The one you're really going to kick yourself for? Jim mm-hmm. Clark.
Oh, there you go.
Really obvious one. And the other one, you were on the right lines when you said, who's that Australian?
That's movie? I know who I'm the 3-time world champion. Australian. I always forget his name. Alan Jones. No, that's what I said. It's not Alan Jones. He's British.
No, he's not. He's Australian.
Is he Australian? I'm so confused. Who is it? John Watson.
Oh,
no, he's British.
No, he was British. Never a world champion. This is brilliant viewing. I'm loving this. Go on, get it. I'm not going
John,
on until you...
I almost said John Watson again. No. No, it's too early. Who is it?
Oh, it's so funny. Jack Brabham.
Jack
sir.
Brabham, that's the one. I always forget
oh,
him.
Oh, that is so funny. So funny. Just the way you keep saying John Watson or
yeah,
Adam Jones.
I'm just adamant
that'll make it right.
That it's one of them two.
That is so good. That is so good. That's really made my day already. And it's
good.
Only... 10 to 9 in the morning. Race rating, Jamie? What do we say? What do we say?
I was pleased F1 was on my screen. That was good.
Yeah.
I would go a little 5.5.
I was going to say a 5.
I wouldn't watch it again, but I don't feel bad that I watched it the first time. So.
No, exactly. But I think we always feel that about a Grand Prix, don't we?
Yeah.
When it is a snoozer. Unless it was Spa 2021.
Oh, yeah. I lucky didn't watch that live, so that was good.
I spent 4.5 hours of my Sunday and then went to work Monday morning and got so much stick for it because everyone knows I watch Formula One.
There you go. And Verstappen got 5 points over Hamilton, which made all the difference. So,
but he didn't.
It actually
the
didn't.
FIA
won,
made all the difference.
He won by 7 points because he's Ann Baller. But there you
well,
go.
Let's be fair. It coming out in the news literally yesterday, wasn't it? Is Mohammed Ben Sulayem.
Yeah, but it's nothing to do with Abu Dhabi.
Oh, no, nothing to do with Abu Dhabi, but it proves it happens.
Well, yeah, it's not proven anything yet, it's just an accusation, but we'll see. It's to do
pretty
with,
obvious,
to do with Jeddah
nothing
21,
will happen
it?
From
Jeddah
23.
23, sorry, I'm forgetting what year we're in. Yeah, Jeddah last year, that he basically apparently petitioned the FIA to reduce Alonso's penalty to get Alonso back on the podium because it was good for the popularity of the sport in Saudi Arabia, which is pretty bad.
Well, Alonso did, didn't he?
He did get his podium. Yeah, he did get it reduced. But originally he got a 10-second penalty, which dropped him behind Russell, and it got reduced to 5.
Well, let's be fair. What is on the rear wing of that Aston Martin car?
Exactly. Aramco. But exactly, it's all a tinfoil hat conspiracy. But this one actually might have some... There's a bit of fire with the smoke. So we'll see.
I just can't believe Fernando Alonso might get investigated for race-fixing at a street circuit at a night Grand Prix. Who ever would have thought that would happen? I guess it's a first time for everything. And a second if you're Fernando.
Yes. But that's a kettle of fish we won't open.
Okay, we're staying clear of that one.
Well, we can do
so.
it on Thursday when we know a bit more.
Okay, that's a fair shout. predictions, though, unfortunately, I tried to go a bit bold and beautiful, and it didn't quite work, did it?
I went boring and beautiful, and did work. So
you got pole for Verstappen, so you got 2 points there.
Indeed,
you said Verstappen, Perez, and Leclerc, so you got 4 points from that, 6 points altogether. Very good job done by Jamie.
Thank you.
I feel like I should get points for saying Leclerc pole, because he did set the fastest time.
Is that pole position, Rami?
No.
No,
unfortunately,
it's not.
Leclerc set the fastest lap time at the wrong point, which is a shame.
Yeah,
however, I did get Verstappen win, which was 2 points. And then I got Leclerc and Hamilton, which didn't net me anything. So Jamie has already got a 4-point lead. As we leave Bahrain. And of course, we will do predictions in the Jeddah preview show later on in the week. Shout out as well, quickly, to Jamie183, because you predicted Zane Maloney would be a bit of a baller.
I did.
For the first time ever in FIA Formula 2, a driver has won both Grand Prix to kickstart the year.
He did, and he was absolutely on it. I think the Pramers were terrible. They qualified like 15th, 16th.
Completely screwed it up. No, 18th and 19th, or 19th and 20th.
Even worse. But yeah,
messed it up.
I will be honest, I was basically picking names out of a hat when I said who'd finish third in the championship, but I got lucky. And now I'm going to be a Zane Maloney fan for the rest of the season. So I'm sorry, Zane,
so
but that's the last win you're ever getting.
That's your season done. It's back to Barbados for you.
Bushy Peak is calling.
The
racetrack in Barbados that sponsors him.
What's it called?
Bushy something. Bushy Peak? I thought that...
Bushy Park.
What is it? Bushy Park. Close enough. There you go.
You're so funny. Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Have we got anything else to add, though, Jamie? Like we said, we're going to cover all the beef on Thursday when we know a bit more, aren't we?
Driver of the day?
Oh, yeah. Driver of the day. I'm going to say... Joe deserves a shout-out.
He does, thank
you. But I'm going to say Carlos Sainz.
I'm going to repeat what you just said and say Joe deserves a shout-out, but driver of the day is Carlos Sainz.
Fair enough. Do we start tracking like our driver of the days and stuff in our race
We could. It wouldn't be too hard.
I reckon we should this year.
We'll do it afterwards.
We'll get the admin out. Exactly. But yeah, thank you always, everyone, for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure, like you said, drop a sub, drop us a follow, all that good stuff. We'll be back Thursday then with our preview for the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. I'm just going to quickly check one more thing. Did anyone that dropped some predictions get it right? No, they didn't. Although Formula Bean, to be fair, almost got Stroll's race prediction right because he says Stroll P9 in the end.
We should start doing Stroll predictions. That'd be great.
Qualifying? Did he get Stroll bang on? Was Stroll 13th? Ah, that's a shame. Bean was one place out, both in qualifying and the race. But everyone predicted Max to win, which is a shame.
Well, that's what you did. So 2 points to everyone.
Exactly. Everyone gets 2 points from Bahrain. Thank you all, as always, though, so much for listening. And yeah, we'll be back on Thursday, like we said, ready with a Jeddah preview.